over to the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to look at a familiar passage, and nothing of what I'm going to say tonight is going to be new, but just want to refocus us, remind us of what we're looking at this week, and just give us some pointers to kind of think about tonight as we go into this week's Vacation Bible School. Let me say up front, make sure you get plenty of rest this week. And you say, well, preacher, we're only going to be here 2 hours every night. But when you hear 2 hours every night, and you've already been here several hours today, and you put Sunday with Monday with Tuesday with Wednesday with Thursday with Friday, that's going to be a lot. So get rested up. That many of you have to work. How many are working this week? So you couple in, you're already going to be here all day Sunday. Then you're going to go and work all day Monday. Then you're going to come straight here and hear a bunch of screaming and yelling kids. And that's going to go on for 2 hours. Then you're going to go home and try to get some sleep. As soon as you lay down, you're going to hear screaming and yelling kids again. And then you're going to wake up and you're going to hear screaming and yelling boss. And then you're going to come here and hear yelling and screaming kids. And you're going to try to go to bed. You're going to hear screaming and yelling kids again. You're going to wake up to a screaming and yelling boss. You're going to do that 5 days in a row. And by the time Saturday gets here, your eye bags are going to be way down here. And you're going to say, where is the bed? Amen. There's a reason why there's no soul winning this Sunday, no Saturday. Everything's telephonic. So all you got to do is wake up sometime during the day and call some kids that are going to be coming on Sunday or Sunday night. And that's going to be it. So get some rest while you can. After the cake tonight, amen, say your farewells to Brad and Linda. Go home and jump in the bed and get ready because you're going to need it. Amen. Luke chapter number 18, if you would. And we're going to read a familiar passage here, verses 15, 16, and 17. Share with you some thoughts as to what we're going to be looking at here this week, and then a short challenge to what we want to do. Amen. Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. Everybody there say amen. You look at this passage, you go back in the beginning, verses 1 through 8, Jesus is talking about the importance of persistence in prayer, and he gives an illustration there of the unjust judge there. And then verses 9 through 14, he talks about the avoidance of pride in prayer, how the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. Then he changes gears and talks about the children that are being brought to him and talking about permittance of children in his presence. So notice verse 15. Let's read together 15, 16, and 17. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Father, bless the next several moments that we have together, Lord, as we have our hearts prepared and geared up for Vacation Bible School. God, give us a direction and a challenge to do what you would have us to do. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. Thank you for the children that are going to be brought into our presence. And help us have the same attitude, the same mentality that Jesus had as he received these children. And Lord, may we shun from the attitude that disciples had when he rebuked them from bringing them to him. Thank you again for loving us. Now in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right. Brother Gary, can you bring me a cup of water, sir, please? I would appreciate that. Before we get into the passage, let me just share with you. I've got an overview of every night of the Vacation Bible School in my hand. And lesson one deals with Jesus cares and heals, coming out of Mark chapter number one. And it says the God of the universe cares about our needs. When the children come in here, we need to let them know that we care about their needs. They're going to have many, many different needs from many, many varied backgrounds. Now, again, we can't meet every need, but they need to know that we're concerned about their needs. And the verse that they're going to be using is casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, 1 Peter 5, 7. Lesson two is John chapter 4, the woman at the well. The God of the universe knows me and loves me. When these children come here, make them feel special. Make them feel invited. Make them feel wanted. You want them to be here. You want them to return. You want them to be here. You're glad they came. So just like Jesus entertained the woman at the well, make sure these kids know that we love them and want to know them better. And Romans 5:8 is the verse that they're using there. God commendeth the love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lesson three is the woman who anoints Jesus' feet, Luke chapter 7. The God of the universe can forgive sin. And by the way, that's going to be a big day there because every child sins. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Every child sins and every child needs to know their sins can be forgiven in lesson three. The verse is Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Expect to see some people get saved that night. Once a child knows that they can get forgiveness from the God of heaven, that Jesus Christ died for them, was buried, and rose again for them, children are very easy to get saved. Amen. Lesson number four, Peter walks on the water, Matthew 14. Look to the God of the universe to help you do things that he tells you to do. One of the things that he tells them to do is obey their parents. And so the main thrust of that is that God empowers children and gives the ability to honor their father and their mother, to obey their parents, and to do right. Telling the truth. Amen. And so the verse there is Psalm 121, verse 2. I think we know that one. My help cometh from who? The Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then coming up on Friday, John 13, Jesus demonstrates his love by service and by his sacrificial death. 1 John 4, 10 and 11. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so we're hoping to send the children off that Friday by showing them the love and the sacrifice that Jesus gave that they ought to give as well in serving others and helping others. And so there's a great week of lessons that will be coming up here. Our job now is to pray for these young children that they will come through here, and each lesson that the teachers develop will be specifically aimed at that child's heart and that child's need. Again, we don't know, but guess who does know? God knows. God knows their need. All God is looking for is a vessel to be utilized in you and I. So whether you're in the crafts, or whether you're in the snacks, or whether you're in the sports, or whether you're in the auditorium, or whether you're doing counseling, or whether you're just walking around, have a smile. Greet the young people as they come. Be friendly towards them. I'm going to give you some things that we can do to help facilitate what the teachers are already going to be trying to do back in the classes. You all have your list, so you know exactly where the areas are that we're going to be talking about. But let's look at a couple things here. First of all, let's look at the parallel passages. Hold your finger here. Go back to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. This is the parallel to the area that we're talking about here in Luke 18. And Matthew 19 and verse 13, the Bible reads this way. Then were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them. Notice here, this passage says, and what? And pray. And so it was typical back in the days for the ladies and the families to bring children to the rabbis, and they would put their hands on them and pray. It was pretty common, much like we would do something like that today. It says, and pray, and the disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Come over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter number 10. And in Mark chapter 10, notice verse 14. Again, another parallel area. Mark 10 says it this way. Verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Notice that he wasn't happy about it. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is what? The kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And so we see it happening in Matthew and in Mark and then Luke. Back in Luke 18, we see it happening again. And I want to give you a few things to look at in this passage. Come back down to Luke 18 now. And in verse number 16, matter of fact, verse 15, they brought unto him infants. The word for infants there means babe or a young child. And it says that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. The word rebuke means to censor, admonish, or forbid, or to straitly charge. So in other words, the disciples see these people coming with the little children to Jesus, and they see Jesus here, and they begin to tell them basically, get these children away from Jesus. Get these children. By the way, children need to come to Jesus at an early age before they get corrupted with the filth and the sin that's out there. The earlier a child can come to Christ, the better. How dare the disciples be so insensitive when there are sensitive parents coming with their child's needs to the disciples? Amen. So you got insensitive men with sensitive men and women bringing their children here, and they're rebuking them, saying, "Get them out of here." And by the way, I know a lot of churches don't like a lot of kids around their church. How many of y'all have been in some of these churches where there's not a whole lot of kids there? And the grown-ups kind of look at them like this. My dad goes to a church like that right now. And they've got maybe three kids. And they had a bunch of kids. But the older crowd scolded the kids so much that the kids didn't want to come back anymore, because they didn't want to put up with the children's mentality. Now, what is a child's mentality like? Foolish, childish, immature, loud, noisy, rambunctious, jitterbug in the seat. All that kind of stuff. They can't sit still. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to do this. I want some water. They're not doing that. You know what they're doing? So if they're not moving, they're sleeping. They're one of the two, unless you're up there doing some magic tricks or pulling a rabbit out of a hat. Amen. Their attention span is very small. Amen. Joshua looking at me like, who are you talking about? Amen. And so he rebuked them. The disciples figured Jesus was much too busy with grown-up things than to touch and bless little children. But on the contrary, it was the little children that needed to come. By the way, the disciples, one of these days, are going to die off. Guess who's going to pull up the slack? The younger children. Amen. So it's best to get them young and raise them up. And so when you come down here, we want to avoid that type of an attitude. Notice what he says. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Suffer little children to come unto me." The word "suffer" means permit or yield or give up to, or to give something up. Surrender, in other words. So he says, suffer, permit them, allow them. He says, allow little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, or don't forbid them. He said, for of such is the kingdom of God. The word for little children there means a childling of either sex, an infant or a half-grown boy or girl, a little or a young child or a damsel. What characteristics would accompany this type of a person, a little child? They're uncomplicated oftentimes. They're unspoiled by the world oftentimes. They're trusting, they're forgiving, they're loving, and they're naturally drawn to Jesus. They're naturally. We sing the song, Jesus loves who? The little children, all the children of the world, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight. Can you imagine Jesus saying, oh, you're a red baby, I got to turn you down. Oh, you're a brown baby, I got to turn you down. Oh, you're a white baby, oh, I got to turn you down. Oh, you're a black baby, oh, I got to turn you down. Oh, you're a green baby, I definitely got to turn you down. Amen. No. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in his sight. Jesus loved the children of the world. Why? Because Jesus died for the world. Amen. So when children come through the door, we've got to permit them, allow them to come to Jesus. Why? This is where Jesus is going to be at. Amen. We don't know what they have in their environments at home. We don't know if they even have a Bible in their home. But guess what? When they come, we've got to make sure that they are able to get to Jesus. And we can't have the disciples' mentality and rebuke them and say, hey, look, you know, we don't want your kind here. Amen. Children awfully normally are attracted to Jesus. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This year's VBS, I want to consider several thoughts about what Jesus said in permitting or allowing children to come unto him. Number one, suffer or allow or permit them to be to be children with their manners. Permit them to be children with their manners. They're going to come in here with their manners. They don't say yes, sir. They don't say no, ma'am. They don't say thank you. They don't say please. Now, can you ask them to say that? Yes, you can. And there is no shame in that. But if they fail to say it or don't remember to say it, don't rebuke them. Get out of here. You approach me as Mr. Sir, sir. No, I'm not talking about letting them be inappropriate at all. You enforce the standards, but you enforce the standards with love. Can you see somebody jumping up in Jesus' lap? Yeah, bless me, man. I don't think one of the little children would have jumped up in his lap like that. They had enough about them to know this is the man of God. And the parents brought them, I'm sure, with enough common sense to know this is the man of God. And I wouldn't have brought my child to the man of God to get blessed if I didn't think my child needed a blessing. Amen. So suffer or permit them to be children with their manners. Don't compare them to be church to the church children or to your children by that fact. Let them be who? Children. What did they say? suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God. Better the little children than the big children. Amen. They're easier to work with, although we want all the children. Amen. Keep the rules in force with love, but don't expect them to be like your kids. Don't expect them to be like church kids. Their behavior, their manners may not be that way. So already come in and say, you know what? Now, by the way, that doesn't mean don't have no expectations. Well, I'm expecting you to be rude and you're acting just like I thought you would. No, don't expect that either. Expect to have a child that's going to respond to Jesus, whatever that's going to take. Amen. But don't put the bar down so low, but don't put the bar so high that they can't get over it. Amen. But don't come in here and expect them to curse you out and slap you in the face. Amen. We're not going to put up with that either. Y'all with me? If a child puts their hands on you, you bring that child to me. Don't you string them up. Don't you hit him back. Don't you kick him in the bump. Don't do any of those things. Don't you swat him. Don't you put a hand on him. You bring that child to me and let me or Pastor White handle him, or Mrs. White or Mrs. Dawson. You bring the child to me. We'll handle that, because there's a way to handle children that are unruly. And it is not to put your hands on them. You want to get a lawsuit on you? Amen. You put your hands on the kid. Now, back in the days, you can get away with it. Like I did. I did it in anger, frustration. What else did I do it in, honey? Because I don't know what got into him. He was crazy. He went insane. Amen. I had the kids marching in line, and I had this one kid that just was acting like a kid. And as we were going down, I said, all right, stand along the line. And everybody stood along the line. And, you know, I'm military. All right, stand up straight. Everybody stand up straight. This one kid over there. And I said, so-and-so, stand up. I said, stand up. And I lost it. I lost it. I said, stand up. And I picked that boy up like this. My wife's eyes got this big. The other kid's eyes got that big. And veins started popping out of my neck and my head. And he looked down at me. And you know what this kid did? Boo, in my arms. I was ready to throw him in the basement, Pastor White, and lock the door. Because the basement was like 5 steps away. I was ready to say, boy, you going in the basement. The basement was filled up with about that much water. And I was going to go down there with the mosquitoes. You know why that happened? I didn't permit him to be a child. And I put the bar up here. I felt like I was dealing with military people. Military people, if they did that, we'd have had something for them. And so you've got to permit them or suffer them to be children with their manners, because they're going to be children with their manners. You still enforce the rules, but don't put your hands on them. Don't do what I did. I'm so glad that was a church member's child. Because if that was anybody else's child, they probably would have had me in jail. I wonder if he ever told his parents about that. What do you think? Well, Pastor Bennett never talked to me about that incident, but my wife said, honey, we can't do that. we can't kill the kids, you know, trying to get them to Jesus. Amen. Let them get saved and kill them afterwards or something. Amen. But you know what? The rest of the kids were scared straight. Whenever I walked around, the rest of the kids were like, remember what you did to that kid over there. You jacked that kid up in the wall and put him way up there. They're like, we ain't having that, amen. I ain't got a problem with any more kids after that. Now, he was still the same. He didn't change. It never fazed him at all. I don't know what it was about it, amen. He grew up to be a nice kid, though, amen. He was on Redlin, amen. Now, see, I didn't know Redlin. I didn't know. I just know he did. This boy ain't right, amen. And so I said, and I had only been saved a short amount of time, too, and I still had a lot of the world in me. And I know, you know, this ain't happening, amen. So don't do what I did. Y'all, everybody got me? Don't jack kids up in the collar. Don't put them up on the wall. Don't scare the other kids, amen. Don't do that. Because we're in the States now. We're in Belgium now. You have a lawsuit on your hand quick and you can shake a stick. Amen. So suffer them to be children with their manners. Number two, suffer them or permit them to be cherished by us as members. Amen. So when they come in, they're going to be children with their manners, but help them to be cherished by us as members. When they come in, laugh with them. Love them. Amen. There's a love and control that we've got to have. There's a balance, but with boundaries that we got to have. We've got to make sure that when they come in here, they know there's some boundary lines. There's some rules that they have to have applied to them. VBS director is going to give all those guidelines out in the beginning. So we already have some boundaries that we're working with, but then also have the balance of love and control. Know who you're working with and know what type of child needs what type of love and what type of child needs what type of control, and laugh with them and love them at the same time. Don't be so stoic that they look at you. You look like Lurch off the Addams Family. You don't want to look like that. If you look like Lurch off the Addams Family, they're not going to want to come back. They want to have fun when they come here. Amen. And they will have fun if you and I laugh with them and love them, have some balance with them, have some boundaries with them, have some control with them, have some constraints with them, because children need that as well. Lighten up and be a kid for this week. Amen. If you never had fun, have fun this week. Amen. Pretend like you're playing with your kids. By the way, look at it this way. Look at these kids like they were your own kids. Except for jacking them up. Amen. Don't jack them up, though. Even though they belong to someone else, laugh with them, have some fun. Don't you laugh with your kids and have fun with your kids? Amen. You pick with your kids and have poke fun with your kids. Amen. Have fun with the kids. Have good time with them. Pretend like they're your kids. Laugh with them and love them. Have a great time with them. Just don't jack them up. Amen. If you do that, I may have to come to you and say, now, we tried that back when I did this in 1992. Didn't work then. It's not going to work now. Amen. Especially if they're on Ritalin. Amen. By the way, some children may come in on medications. Some kids may come in and have forgotten to take their medications. And they may exhibit some of these signs. Amen. We've got to have that love and that control, that balance with them, with boundaries. Amen. Number three, not just suffer them to be children with their manners and suffer them to be cherished by us as members, but then suffer them or permit them to be challenged by the messages. The messages are going to be preached, and we want to allow the messages that they hear to soak in and challenge their lives on a daily basis. Amen. You may have to explain the messages that were spoken to them if needed. You may have to clarify some terms to them offline as a helper or a worker if needed. They may be walking and say, you know what, my teacher said this and about burning in hell or this or that or the other. And you may have to bring them alongside and explain to them a little bit more in detail what the message meant to them. And so we're going to be allow them to be children with their manners, cherish them as our as members, and then we're going to challenge them by the messages and allow them to be challenged by these messages that they receive. Amen. Explain the meanings if needed. Our church children need the messages reinforced too, by the way. Just because we're in there, we say, well, you know, all these kids are church kids. And your point is, I think all kids need to learn obedience. I think all kids need to learn more about prayer. I think all kids need to learn more about service and sacrifice and surrender. I think all kids need to know a lot of the things that are on this list. The woman at the well. Jesus knows me and loves me. God cares about our needs. He can forgive my sin. He wants me to do the things that he tells me to do. Amen. All kids need that. So just because they're church kids, don't look at it and say, well, these are church kids. They've heard this before. They may have. Guess what? They need to hear it again. Reinforce it. Hey, by the way, you don't know which church kids are not saved. They may have professed to be saved, but they may not be saved. And so just because they said they're saved, that doesn't mean a thing. They may be challenged differently, and maybe a part of their heart's understanding was not clear. And then the challenge comes out and the message comes out. And they say, you know what? I'm not saved. And then they can get saved that week. And so make sure that we allow them to be challenged by the messages. And then fourthly, suffer or permit them to be changed by the master. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to do the changing. Don't try to change them yourself. Don't tell them, hey kid, this is what you need to do because I said so. Now, certain things they need to do because you said so. Certain things they do. But when it comes to changing their heart, you can't change their heart just because you said so. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. Let the messages go out and let the message fall in their heart. Explain to them, encourage them. Hey, this is what the Bible says. But at the end of the day, you can't make these kids be spiritual. You can't make them read their Bible. You can't make them get a memory verse in their heart to live it. You can help them to learn it. But the living part is on them. And so allow them or suffer them to be changed by the master. Don't try to change them yourself. The gospel of Jesus Christ can change any young life if the child is willing to receive the message of God. And so allow these things to happen. Allow them or suffer them to be children with their manners. Suffer them to be cherished by us as members. Suffer or permit them to be challenged by the messages. Suffer or allow them to be changed by the master. That's what he does. When the gospel message comes out, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, guess what? That can change their life. That can save their souls. You say, well, preacher, they're too young. You're never too young. If a person can comprehend, and they understand, the Bible says, with the heart man believing in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If they can understand that Jesus died for them, he was buried, and he rose again. They can understand that down the road awaits them hell. And they can understand they're rejecting the Son of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they can get saved. They can get saved. Amen. And by the way, Jesus would not have said in this passage, suffer little one to come unto me if he didn't know they could be saved. He said, if you don't become like this, he said, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God in verse number 17. Say, preacher, how are we going to do these four things? Number one, by being approachable by them. Notice what it says in verse 16 again. But Jesus called them unto him after the disciples rebuked them. Up there in verse number 15. Jesus called them unto him, and he said, hey, suffer, permit little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Be approachable by them. We get to mentor these kids for God. Jesus was approachable by the common people. Be approachable. Don't give off such an air where the children want to run from you. Don't give off such an air that you're holier than thou and you've never touched sin before in your life and you're appalled at this kid for having an earring in his ear and he's only 6 years old. Don't look at them in such a way that they've got a tattoo on their neck and they're 7 years old and you're appalled at that. Be approachable. Jesus was able to be approached by these people. I find it interesting, they didn't bring him to the disciples. They wanted Jesus to come. Remember what happened the last time they brought somebody to Jesus? When Jesus went on the mountain of transfiguration? And they said, we brought our son to your disciples and they couldn't do anything. And remember what Jesus said? This kind cometh out by nothing but fasting and prayer. And what did they say? They said, we took him to your disciples and they couldn't do anything. There's a reason why they went to Jesus. Jesus was approachable by them. Don't have the holier-than-thou mentality with them. Don't be like the Pharisee up there in verse number 11 who prayed thus with himself, as it said there. Notice what it says in verse 11. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. You don't want to be like that. Be approachable by them. Number two, be appreciative of them. Notice verse 17. We get to minister for God to them. Jesus was eager to receive them. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Jesus not only was approachable by them, but he was appreciative of them. He was glad that they were coming to him. By the way, these young people could be in worse places. But they're going to make a conscious choice to be here. They could be out in the street somewhere doing something foolish. They could be out vandalizing some property. They could be out terrorizing someone else. They could be out doing some drugs. They could be out drinking. They could be out doing a whole lot of ungodly things. But God is going to allow certain kids to come in here this week. The one gal who already called on the phone, got her kids signed up. She said, my boys will be back tomorrow. Now, I don't know if her boys are saved or not. But she already told me, she said, my two oldest boys will be back tomorrow. I'm going to bring them here. Her boyfriend is the one that got saved today. Can he lead him to the Lord? And she's trying to do things right. And she said, you know what? If I can just get him in here, I think y'all can do something with him. Hey, now, I don't know whose class they're going to be in because I don't know how old they are, but they will be here. You know why? I believe because she sees that we're approachable. And I believe she sees that we appreciate children. Why? There's a bunch of kids in here. There's a bunch of them. And so if she can just get her boys and get him in here, get her daughters locked up in here, get them in here, we may be able to get them something that maybe she as a mother can't. I love it when parents bring their children and say, can you do something with them? Because I can't do anything with them. That means that they've tried and whatever they're doing is not working. And they have enough confidence in the word of God and the power of God working through the people of God that somehow, some way, maybe we can make some difference in their life. Be approachable. Be appreciative of them. They could be in worse places. And then lastly, be approved. You say, preacher, you mean we got to get some training? We've got to get our security clearance? No, I'm not talking about that kind of being approved. I'm talking about 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be approved. Know how to answer a question when a child asks you, and know how to answer it on the child's level. A child has not gone through the theological training that you've gone through. A child does not know big terms like propitiation and justification and sanctification and glorification. You'd say that to a child, they're going to say, yeah, you got that. Certainly say it to an adult. The adult would be like, you say, well, I'm going to teach you about eschatology. They know lying is bad. Stealing is not good. Thou shalt not steal. They know that. Speak in terms where a child can understand. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I had a fun time with that with my kids. They said, Daddy, we learned the Ten Commandments. What does that mean? Now, let's see. How could you understand that? And you had to put it on terms that they can understand. I said, it's when someone else takes daddy's wife or daddy takes someone else's wife and does things inappropriate with them, have inappropriate relationship with them, that's not good. We watched Fireproof last night or a couple nights ago at the hotel up there. And, you know, they showed where the doctor was hitting on the girl. I said, now, see, son, that's inappropriate. I said, she's married and he's married. That's inappropriate. I said, that doctor should not be talking to that married woman that way. And guess what? They got it. And you know the part that my sons liked the best? At the end when he got his hand healed up, and he said, my hand's healing up real good. I said, that's right, sons. I said, yeah, somebody messed with mama. I said, guess what? My hand's healing up real good, too. Amen. And then they said, aha. I said, you know why? I said, because the doctor was being inappropriate. And this man is standing up for his wife. I said, and that's what we call adultery. He's trying to steal in there and do some things that are inappropriate. Be approved. Study to show thyself approved. Be ready to answer these questions, childlike questions that they have, in a way where the child can understand it. By the way, let me give you a jewel of a verse to put in your back pocket. Go to Deuteronomy 29:29. Don't ever be afraid to use this with children or adults. Deuteronomy 29:29. I love this. Moses is speaking to the children of God, and he's using an area that we often use over there in Romans chapter 10 and verses 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 with the Romans roll. And Moses, at the conclusion of this, talking about the law is not over here, saying that we should bring it over here or over here. He says, but it's right before you. And as he's dealing with that, he comes down here in Deuteronomy 29. And notice what he says here. He says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. There are going to be certain questions that the children answer. You may not be able to answer. You know what? You tell them, the secret things belong to the Lord. I don't know the answer to that. But notice what he goes on to say. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. In other words, Moses is saying, in short, don't worry about what you don't know. Worry about what you do know. Don't worry about these secret things that are not revealed to you. Worry about what is revealed to you and do that. Like thou shalt have no other gods before me. Like honor thy father and thy mother. Like thou shalt not steal. These things you know, thou shalt not covet. He said, you know that. Don't worry about secret things. So when a child asks you a question and you don't know the answer, say, you know what, child, let me go over here. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. He said, understand and work with things that you know. The famous question that children ask, did Adam have a belly button? Good question, isn't it? Now, we already know which one came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Which one came first? Chicken. Bible tells you clear, but it doesn't tell you whether Adam had a belly button. Now you say, why is that one of the tricky questions? Because most folks that are born have a belly button because they're attached to something. Adam was made. So he didn't have to be attached to anything. Eve was made. She didn't have to be attached to anything. So does she have a belly button? Did Adam have a belly button? We don't know. But guess what? The secret things belong unto the Lord. When you get to heaven, you can look. Say, Adam, lift up your shirt. Eve, lift up your shirt. Let me see if you got a belly button. Yeah? It's been plaguing me all my life. I want to know that, but nobody showed. Do you have a belly button? Let me see. And she may say the secret thing belongs unto the Lord. Amen. And none of your business whether I got a belly button or not. You got one. Worry about your own. I worry about mine. What am I saying? Don't hesitate to use that verse, because every question is not answerable at that time. And every question is not appropriate at that time. And some questions the devil just uses to try to throw people off from doing what they know they ought to do. And that's getting saved. And so the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may do all the words of the law. So when we come, we can do these things with permitting the children to be children with their manners and cherished by us as members and challenged by the messages and changed by the master. We can do that by being approachable by them, by being appreciative of them, and being approved unto God for them. And that is getting into our Bibles and thanking God that they chose to be with us for several hours, that we might be able to impact them for the rest of their life. You know, if nothing else, I know when I got saved, and I know when I got saved, and I know who led me to Christ when I got saved. If nothing else, they'll remember you as the one who led them to Christ the rest of their life. They may not remember what day it was. They may not remember what time it was. They may not remember, but I'll remember that face of that person who prayed with me and who was patient with me. They may not remember a whole lot, but they'll go back to that time. And they'll say, you know what? This person, this man, this woman, this person over here led me to Christ. And so, folks, as they come this week, let's be prepared for them. They're coming. The disciples were insensitive to their needs, but Jesus was sensitive to the needs. He said, you know what? Don't push them away. Let them come to me. Hey, if we can get them to Jesus, he can change their life. We can't save them, but he can. We can't change them, but he can. We can't help them in this respect as far as making a difference in their heart. But he can. But oh, we can love him. Oh, we can cherish him. Oh, we can make sure that we come in here and give them every opportunity to hear the message and let the master change their hearts. We can be approachable. We can be appreciative of them. And we can be approved by showing them what the Bible says. Let's be simple this week and say, Lord, just use me. Lord, just use me. And I don't know how God's going to use you this week, but be available to be used for whatever is necessary. Vacation Bible schools normally come, and it's a wild and a fast track, especially when kids want to get saved. I remember the year Brother Hall gave that message on hell and had about every hand shoot up in the classroom. Man, we're trying to find folks all over the place. Hey, get your Bible, get your Bible, get your Bible. We're all over the place leading people to Christ. You don't know when the Spirit of God is going to touch their hearts. You really don't. But let's be ready when he does. And let's be prayed up. Pray for each other. Pray for yourself. Pray for our directors. Pray that God would move this week and we can see some lasting fruit that would remain. We can get these children saved and disciple them, get into their homes, get those parents saved. You'd be surprised what God can do. Amen. Let's get ready. Let's get grounded and let's get reared up for this and geared up for this, and so that God can work through us a marvelous work of grace. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope you are as well. Amen. Just remember, don't do what I did. You don't remember anything else. Don't do what I did. I lost it. You know what? But I never lost it again after that. That scared even me. That scared even me. That I let that child push me to that point. I scared myself. And the way I gripped that child, I was afraid. I said, God, I gotta get help. I can't do this. I can't let these kids get to me like this. I got afraid because I didn't want to hurt any child. And so don't let them push you to that point. Leave if you have to and get somebody else to deal with them before that happens. Say, can you handle this child here? I need to go over here and pray. And pray is what we need to do. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, thank you for